Have your Bibles, turn away to Psalm 112. We'll look at Genesis some also today, if you want to put a bookmark there in chapter 12 of the book of Genesis. No service tonight. We'll get through eating lunch, we'll clean up the gym and put everything back away, and everybody that stays and helps do that will be wore out, so we'll go home and rest this evening and visit with your fathers and your grandfathers. And my oldest daughter is not here. She called on the phone. The rest of the kids were all at the family reunion yesterday up in Ashe County, North Carolina, for my wife's family. They are all originally from West Virginia, Bluefield, Princeton, Beckley, that area. The reason we know that my wife's family is you get all the women together and you got a full set of teeth in one room, you know. They're from West Virginia. I love you guys. I'm just kidding. I love you. And they moved from Crumpler, West Virginia, to Crumpler, North Carolina. And Joy's dad lived in Boone when we got married. I tell people I rescued her out of the mountains. I was a Marine, and it was knee-deep in snow when I went up there to see her and ask her to marry me. And well, I really didn't ask her to marry me. I just called her and told her we're getting married this weekend. I got to leave, so I knew she was anxious, you know. She wanted to get rescued out of those mountains, you know. I used to tease her in front of people. I'd tell her I bought her a permanent pair of shoes and made her happy, you know, and she came out of the mountains. Well, the Ashe County, North Carolina, has a brogue. You know, if you hear them speak, you know they came from Ashe County. And they had the family reunion there. Probably had about 75 people, maybe something like that, there yesterday. And all of our children were there except Nikki's family. And they are in Washington, D.C. They came up and spent the night with us Wednesday night, and then went to Carowinds on Thursday, and then Friday morning left real early and drove to Washington, D.C., and they're having a good time up in Washington, D.C. Well, she called me this morning to wish me Happy Father's Day, and so I got to hear from all my kids over the weekend and spend some time with them, and I appreciate it very much. I'm glad we have a good relationship, and my father was a bad alcoholic. He was a mean alcoholic. He put a gun in my face and a knife to my throat numerous times when I was a teenage boy. I'm thankfully got saved late in life. But I didn't have fond memories growing up. The worst guilt I ever had in the Marine Corps was because I left home at 17 and left my mother and my little sister at home to deal with him. And when God saved me and changed my life, one of the great desires I've had is to be the kind of father that my children could look up to, never have to be ashamed of, never have to make excuses for, be the kind of person that you couldn't bring visitors around or anything like that. And by God's grace, you know, we've been able to serve the Lord and live for God these years. Psalm 112 in your Bibles in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see the desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Let's pray. Father, as we look in your word today, I ask for your help to speak to your people. I want to be a help and a blessing to them and give them your message today from God's word. Thank you for this psalm and the way that it explains that those who are righteous because they have come to know the Lord and been forgiven of their sins have many blessings and provisions from the Lord. And Lord, all of us, the good about us is by the grace of God. And all of the errors and mistakes and sins that we commit, we need to confess to you and repent of those and turn away from them and ask your forgiveness and cleansing. Bless this service today, we pray, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The character and integrity that godly men should demonstrate are traits that everyone should have. Our ladies here today, we're not excluding you. Our teenagers, our children, men who are not dads, maybe a husband or not. All of us should have these traits of godliness and righteousness that the Bible demonstrates here in godly character. It deals with our walk with God. We talk a lot about our walk with God because the Bible speaks a lot about our walk with God. God wants us to have godly men. God wants godly men to be a testimony to His grace and His mercy and His love in salvation. As I said, everything good about us goes to God's credit. It's His honor and His glory. The church needs godly men to serve the Lord, to be an example to the youth that are coming up. Families need godly men to set an example and to be able to get hold of God in prayer. You're going to face crisis in your life. Don't wait to then to see if you can find God in prayer. Know the Lord day by day and pray and seek the Lord's face. And then when crisis comes, you have confidence your God's on the throne and you can go to Him with your need. And He will hear you and help you. The unsaved of our community and our nation need godly men who will send out the gospel, who will pray for the lost, who will be a witness and example to them. Bill, when I worked up at McGuire Nuclear Plant back in the early 70s, I was working at River Bend Steam Station, and that job was getting winding down toward the end, putting in precipitator units up there. And so Randy Poole and I went up to McGuire and took the test and passed the test and got hired. And we went to work up there. And when I got away from Daniels Construction Company and went to work with Duke Power, there was a whole different attitude of people. They weren't traveling to work all the time and out of town all the time. That often is hard on marriages and families. And Duke Power stayed somewhere for a long period of time in their construction. And so there were a lot of men with families who went to church and lived for the Lord. And several of them began to witness to me, give me things to read, talk to me about the Lord. And God began to bring conviction to my heart that I was an example to a child who was 1 year old, and I was not a good example. And God used that to help me come to know Christ as my Savior. That was the beginning of the conviction of my sin and dealing with the fact that I realized I was lost and I needed help and I couldn't change my own life myself. But ladies and teens and children and all of our men, we all need these godly traits. In Ephesians 5:1, the Bible says about our walk, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Christ offered himself for us. If you and I had offered ourselves, we were sinful. It'd be like offering rotten meat, and God would not appreciate the smell. But Christ was sinless, and his sacrifice pleased God and provided salvation for us all. In Ephesians 5, verse 3 through 6, the Bible tells us how we should not walk. In the world we live in, there's much sin. The Bible speaks of fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, filthiness and foolish talking and jesting, which are not convenient. But rather, we should be people who are giving thanks. The Bible says, no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God. You see, we forget about it sometimes, or we like to forget about it sometimes, but anybody who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior is lost and on their way to hell. They may be people we like, they may be people we appreciate as a neighbor, they may be people who have done us a favor, they may be of a different religion, and we've got that pounding in our head not to judge other people. Let me tell you something, friends, God's going to judge other people. And He's already judged them in His Word. And they stay lost because we're unwilling to say, you're not saved if you don't know Christ as your Savior. You're going to hell if you don't know Christ. It's a simple thing, but it's a matter that is very delicate and very important, that we need to help the lost see their need to be saved. Hell is real, and people are going to hell, and people are lost. They're in darkness, and they can't change their own life. They can't find the light to get out without the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Now you're in the light. Walk as children of light, the Scripture says. In Ephesians 5:15, we're to walk circumspectly. It means carefully. Walk in wisdom. Walk in purpose. There are many dangers in the world. Young people, there are a lot of dangers out there. You've got to be careful how you walk, where you walk, who you walk with. There are many dangers out there. Heard on the radio coming in this morning, these disc jockeys were talking about the heat that we've had in the last few weeks has brought all the snakes out. They've been hiding up under stuff for the wintertime, you know, and now they're coming out because it got warm enough. My wife and I were out in the yard, 10 days ago or something like that, and a black snake came out from under some pine needles right behind one of our buildings, and it was long. And by that big around, it had some age on it, you know. I was riding a lawnmower and I was cutting grass and I didn't pay that snake any attention, you know. I didn't kill him because black snakes are your friend, you know. They eat snake and they eat other snakes and they eat rats. They'll also eat frogs and things like that, but we don't have any frogs. I keep telling my wife all the time, she teaches the grandkids about playing frogs. Those are hoppy toads, dear. They're not frogs. Frogs are green and slimy and live in the pond and go brrr, ribbit, ribbit. You know, that little hoppy toads out in the yard, brown, and they pee on you if you pick them up and hold them in your hand, you know. The old people used to say, don't play with them hoppy toads, they'll give you warts. Well, I don't think you get warts from them peeing on you, but, you know, they will do that if you pick them up and play with them. Well, the radio announcer said there's a lady who's a friend of theirs, I don't know if she works for radio or what, in Charlotte, somewhere over toward Weddington area, their child got bit by a rattlesnake. And both of them had a snake story then to tell, you know. And there's snakes out there. You got to be careful when you walk in the woods, when you walk in high grass, when you walk in the undergrowth. There's dangers. And when you go out in the world to college, and you get around people you've never been around before in your life, and you get around influence you've never had in your life, there's dangers out there. There's a lot of snakes out there, friends. And you got to be careful how you walk and where you walk. 1 John 1:7, but if you walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Romans 6:4, believers, we're to walk in the newness of life. In Romans 8:1, we're not to walk after the flesh or our human desires from our old nature. Romans 13:13, let us walk honestly. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, believing God that whatever He asks us to do, it is right for us to obey. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's important, men, women, young people, and dads today, that we get up in the mornings and that we have some devotional time with God and we spend time in prayer. Now, I don't care how you do that. Some people get a daily bread and they go sit in the toilet and they read their daily bread, and that's where they do their family devotion. You say, preacher, why would you say that? Because people do that. And some people get in their car and they put a cassette tape in. They listen to the Bible on the way to work. And some people drink a cup of coffee at the kitchen table and read some scripture and spend time in prayer and then they take off to work. I don't care how you do it. But it's important that you have a devotional time when you start your day. Men, it's important that we are spiritual men when we go out in the world. And that we can set the right example and we can live the right way and we can act the right way. Overcoming the flesh. Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy of our calling. Colossians 1:10 and 1 Thessalonians 2:12 both say, walk worthy of God. In chapter 4, verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians, we're to walk to please God. In 2 John, we're to walk after His commandments. In 3 John, He said He delights to hear that my children walk in truth. In Revelation 3:4, they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Who are they? Those who have not defiled their garments. Those who've been saved and cleansed of their sin. Revelation 21:23, God is the light of the new world, and the saved of all nations shall walk in the light of it. So the Bible speaks a lot about our walk with God. And it's important, men, that we are men who walk with God, that we seek to live for God and serve God and please God and have a life that is characterized by walking in the light of righteousness and not in the darkness of sin and iniquity. How is your walk today? If somebody says, how's your walk? I'd say, I got bad knees. You know, but I don't want to have bad spiritual knees. I want to be somebody who can use them to pray. Are we on the right path in life? Are we following God? Are we setting an example that our children can follow? And are we the kind of leaders that God would have us to be that we can help other people to find the right path in their life? There's a second thing this morning I want to point out to you. The examples of a godly father. Abraham was an example. There are many examples in the Bible we could look at. People like Daniel and Joseph and Abraham are people who obeyed God and believed God. Abraham had no sons. If you look back at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 through 3, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Abram was living in Ur of the Chaldees in an area of Syria. His brother is called a Syrian in the Old Testament. God called him out from his people to become a new nation, the Jews, to become Israel, to inherit a land that God would give unto him. And Abraham obeyed God. God told him to leave his family and their influence. His family were idol worshipers. And God wanted him separated from that to obey Him and hear from Him and do what He told him to do. And Abraham went out without a map and a compass to follow God, to go where God told him to go. The Bible says in verse number 4, he was 75 years old when he did this. God showed him the land of Canaan and promised his seed would inherit this land. But Abraham had no seed, had no children at 75 years of age. Look over at chapter 13 of Genesis and verse number 14. Scripture says, and the Lord said unto Abram after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed be numbered. So Abraham is going to have many children, many descendants, and this land is going to be theirs according to the word of God. Israel has a greater title deed to their land than any purchase of a title of land anywhere in the world. It is written in the Bible. It was given to them by God Himself. You say, well, what are the boundaries? The Bible's very clear. From the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates, all of the land in between belongs to the nation of Israel. They have never inherited their entire inheritance, only a portion. And today, a very minute portion of that land belongs to Israel. Yet, people like our president and most of the Democratic Party wants Israel to give Jerusalem back to the Palestinians and give away, you know, part of their land and all that sort of thing. I still believe Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3 is true, that if you bless Israel, God will bless you. And if you curse Israel, God will curse you. God showed Abraham the land. But Abraham was concerned because he had no children. And he could look north, south, east, west, far as he could see, this land would belong to him and to his descendants. In chapter 15, verse number 1, God appeared in a dream to Abraham, and Abraham says, Lord, what will you give me? I have no child. I have no heir. Will I give it to a servant's child as an heir of my household? In chapter 15, verse number 6, God is promising to give Abraham a child, and Abraham believed God. Chapter 15, verse 18, God made a covenant with Abraham about the land from Euphrates to the river of Egypt. When you get over into chapter 17, Abraham has become, by the time of Isaac's birth, 100 years old. So Abraham waited on God's promise for 25 years. Are you willing to wait 25 years for anything? About the only thing you'll wait 25 years for is to pay your house off. And if you take the Dave Ramsey course, he'll tell you not to wait. Get it paid off sooner. Pay it off earlier, you know. Eat beans and rice and pay off your house, you know. Let your house with a paid off mortgage be the status symbol for your life instead of a fancy car. I won't say BMW because they'd pick on Trey and Ron Baltz and they drive BMWs. When God got ready to do what He wanted to do, He did it. When God got ready for Christ to come and be born as a babe in a manger, it was the fullness of time according to God that it took place. And I want to say to you, Jesus is coming again, and it'll be according to God's timing. No man knows the day nor the hour, but God knows, and it's already set, and He's coming again. Abraham obeyed the Word of God. And our walk with God begins when we believe on Christ as our Savior in obedience to what God has said in His Word. Abraham was told to separate from his family and his customs and his land, and he partially obeyed there. He took Lot and all of the people that were working for him with him when he left. And Lot went down to Sodom and lost everything he had down there. Lot was a typical example of a Christian living in the flesh, of a Christian who was not a good example, who was not a good influence for the cause of God. And it was after he separated from Lot, now God can bless Abraham and give him what he was to inherit. God blessed him with all this land and with a nation of people. I wonder this morning if we know for sure that we're obeying God. Are we doing what we should be doing as a Christian? Are we separated unto God, and are we separating ourselves from sinful behavior, wrong influence? The Bible says in the New Testament that covetousness is idolatry. Do you realize that we live in a society of materialism today, and people are very covetous of what other people have? And the Bible says that's idolatry. Sinful lifestyles. My friends, we're all influenced by the people we spend time with. We're all influenced by friends and family that we are related to and that we spend time with. God told Abraham to leave his family, to leave his land, and to go where He told him to go. One day we're going to leave this world behind. We're going to heaven to be with the Lord forevermore. If your family's not saved, you're going to leave them then. You're going to be separated from them then. And if you don't separate from some of them now, if they're having an adverse influence on you, you're never going to receive all that God has for you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible speaks about an unequal yoke. Did you know that you can't hook different kinds of animals together to plow? Because they don't plow at the same gait. A horse and an ox don't walk at the same speed. They don't plow at the same gait. You can't hook them together. They'll be working against one another. And you can't keep them walking at the same time. And the Bible pictures that between believers and unbelievers. And it says we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We don't have the same God. We don't have the same faith. We don't live the same life. The Bible says anybody who's lost without Christ is dead in trespasses and sins. If you hook yourself to a dead person, you're going to be held down. You're never going to be what you need to be and go where you need to go and do what you need to do. So that's tough, preacher. It sure is. But it's God's plain, clear word. I worry over folks like Lot that have a bad testimony that would rather spend time with unsaved people and unspiritual people than to come to church and live for the Lord and serve God. I think they're identifying where they are and who they are. Thirdly, God called Abraham to be a leader and a blessing to all nations. The reason Abraham's a blessing to all nations is because it's through Abraham's descendants that Christ came. And Christ is the blessing to all nations. Salvation comes through Him and Him alone. In Genesis chapter 18, the Bible deals with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's where Lot lost everything he invested in down there. Barely got away with his own life and the lives of his two daughters. But he lost his wife, who loved the sinful place where they lived and wanted to go back there, and God destroyed her, turned her into a pillar of salt. The book of Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham this thing which I will do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." God's getting ready to go down and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he reveals to Abraham what he is about to do. He says that God knows Abraham. And my friend, God knows you today. And he knows me today. He knows everything about me. Nothing about me is hidden to God. God sees and knows it all. How are we doing? Abraham will command his children and his household to keep the way of the Lord. Are we living that way? Are we doing that? He would teach them to be just and proper judgment. As we continue in the Scripture, we know that it's our responsibility to confess our sins and forsake our sins. God will cleanse us and forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of any unrighteousness if we confess our sin to Him. I've had the sad displeasure of going through a whole cycle of life with people who would not make their children obey. The time they got up to teen years, they wouldn't make them sit where they needed to sit in church. They'd let them sit with the ones that were misbehaving and cutting up and wouldn't call them down. I'd call them down from the pulpit sometimes. And of course, when I do that, everybody get mad. Except the people that had to sit behind them, they appreciated what I was doing. And when the youth pastor had a problem with that young person, the parents defended the child against the youth pastor and wouldn't support the youth pastor, who was telling them the truth about the way their child was acting, and they wouldn't believe it. Later in life, he got in trouble. Marijuana, stealing a car, cheating in a business. Oh, he never did anything wrong. They got him a lawyer. They got him out of it. He never spent a day in jail. And then later, when he couldn't control circumstance any longer, he stuck a pistol in his mouth and blew his brains out. And his mom and dad wept and still weep that their only son is dead by his own hand. I don't know that we could have changed that, but I'll tell you this. All the way back to when he was a young person and a teenager, and his mother and father defended him when he did wrong and wouldn't hold him accountable and would not correct him, that set a pattern of his life for how he lived. The Bible says Abraham is a righteous man because he would make his family follow God and obey God and learn justice and judgment. And Abraham made intercession for Lot and his family living down in Sodom. He prayed and asked God to spare it if it was 50 righteous and 30 righteous and 10 righteous. God said, yeah, I'll spare it if there's 10 righteous there. Wasn't even 10 righteous people in Sodom. And the angel said to Lot, I can't destroy this place until you leave it. The judgments that will come upon this earth, friends, till the Lord takes to save people out of it. But the number is getting fewer and fewer, not more and more. And if our nation was Sodom and Gomorrah, God would probably be telling us today to get out of it, because he's about to bring destruction upon it. He said Abraham would do right. He could fulfill his plan with Abraham. Well, I ask you today, can you make intercession on behalf of your family? Can you pray? Will God listen to you? Or are you like Lot when he went and warned his older children that the angels were about to destroy Sodom, and his older children said he was as one who mocked? In other words, they didn't believe that he could know the Lord. They didn't believe he could know anything about the Lord. They didn't believe that he had communed with an angel. They didn't believe that he knew that Sodom was about to be destroyed for its sinfulness. If we don't live the Christian life we ought to live, the unbelieving people around us will never listen to us. It's vital that we live for God and serve God and do what is right. But we're not perfect. We fail all the time. And that's why we need to stay close to the Lord and start our day with God and confess our sin to God and seek His forgiveness. Men, we enjoy being in charge, but we don't always like having the responsibility that goes with it. It's vital that we're men of honor, men with integrity, with ethics, with godly morals. And if we fail, that we quickly confess it to God and seek His forgiveness and restore our walk with God so that God can bless us and our children after us and accomplish His plan with our lives. Let's stand together, please. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Would you pray for this invitational time? If a decision needs to be made for the Lord, some God's dealing with your heart, we'll stand ready to help you if you'll come and let us do that. No one's going to come to you or embarrass you. With our heads bowed in prayer, would you be honest today with an upraised hand? Preacher, I know that I've been saved, and here's my hand to thank God for saving me. Just slip your hand up and write back down. Thank you, brethren. God bless you. Like a sea of hands here. Thank you. Now, if you could not raise your hand, nobody's going to come to you or embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you. Would you be honest today, preacher? I'm not saved or I'm not sure, but I'm concerned for my soul. Here's my hand. Pray for me. Anyone this morning? Thank you. Pray for me. I'm not saved or I'm not sure. We're going to sing a verse of an invitational hymn and invite you to come and let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved today. So I'm going to do that privately with you if you'll come. Father, we ask for your help in this invitation, and we offer you our praise in Jesus' name. Amen.